own room.
Absolutely. All right, here we go. Good afternoon, colleagues. We're going to open up the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is March 29th, 2017. And colleagues, we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 5017. And today we're going to hear about legislative administration and legislative policy and research. What should we know on these?
Actually, I did the overview yesterday, so I think really the we're just going to turn it over to them and let them go.
We're good to go. All right. Darren, you want to come on up? If you'll just introduce yourself for the record, the floor is all yours.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Darren Hill. I'm the legislative administrator. I'm new. I have been in this position since...
That was so pathetic to me. How can we possibly ask you any tough questions?
I've actually been in the position since July 1st. I was appointed by the Legislative Administration Committee in September. So
it's tough to be loved, isn't it?
I do have a past and ability. I used to work for the Legislative Fiscal Office for several years. It's good to see you have good staff doing the legislative branch budget now. Okay, so let's get started. The first slide is our mission statement. As you would imagine, our number one job is to support the legislative branch and do it as effective and efficiently as we possibly can. The legislative administration has 85 positions, 71.16 FTE. There is a noticeable change. The Legislative Policy and Research Office, Chris Reinhardt's going to be here and talk to you. There used to be a group called Committee Services that was underneath us, and that got changed. They've created the Policy Office. Committee Services went there, so the scope of that has changed. Chris is now taking that on. So if you look at our budget, you're going to notice that there's a sizable decrease because that group has gone away. But other than that, let's talk about each one of these areas real quick. The administrator's office, there's a grand total of three positions in the administrator's office. One of them is a session only. It's vacant currently. The other position is a project manager's position, and the legislative fiscal office has stolen that person. He's down here working for them during session at least. So we're getting by, and we'll decide at the end of session how we're going to approach that position.
Employee service. Yes, Senator.
If the session only position is empty, we're in session. What happened?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we're going to be reviewing all the positions now that I'm there and seeing whether we need them or not. And so it has done various things in the past. A lot of it originally was doing some web-based services. IS is now doing that. So as you know, the budget process started before I went down there. So we're going to have some review and find out whether we really need that position or not. It may be something we can give up, to be perfectly honest with you.
Thank you.
Employee services, they do payroll, recruitment, benefits administration. They do the personnel file maintenance on all the employees in the branch. They do training, and they do the personnel rules. Facility services does what you'd think they would do, operations and maintenance. They also do some purchasing and supplies for the branch. Financial services does accounts payable, accounts receivable, internal financial reporting to the offices. They also do statewide financial reporting externally. They take care of the members' accounts. They do budget and contracting. Information services. Does computer services, both operations and maintenance. They oversee the internet services. They do project management for IT projects and general support, and they also do media services. Visitor services does tours, the Capitol store down here by the kiosk, and room scheduling. The last piece here is another issue that we should probably talk about, the Capital Accessibility Maintenance and Safety Project. That was approved during the 2016 session. It's a $50 million. It was approved as a $50 million project. There was $6.7 million in general fund approved back in 2016, along with $30 million of bond proceeds for the current biennium. If Things go the way we plan, we'll ask for that last $13.3 million in bond proceeds in the current for next biennium. So I'll talk a little more about that project here in just a minute. These are our key performance measures. As you can see, there's one that's red, the rest are green. Apparently, the performance measure system has changed, so there is no yellow. There is just green and red. And let me just tell you, the Gold Star certificate, that's in a financial services award that's given out by DAS. Our goal is to have the last 5 years all have us get that certificate. We had 1 year, 2 years ago, where we did not get it. We had somebody who'd been in here for a very long time leave, and we had new staff, and it just didn't happen. But we did get it this last year, so we're back on track. With regards to the rest of ours, we're all at or above our goals. You may or may not remember, but last biennium you gave us several policy option packages. They're basically listed out here. There was some basement ceiling repairs, a fire suppression upgrade for the server room, an upgrade for the panic button system, and then we've also replaced the fire alarm system up in the governor's ceremonial office. All those projects have been done, and we're on or under budget. I guess the fire suppression was right at budget. Information services had one. It's a disaster recovery cold site, phase one of that. What this entailed was us just getting our data offsite. What we'd like to do is come back and talk to you about phase two, which would be setting up a production environment offsite and being able to go full bore offsite if something were to happen here in the building. And then the other thing I thought was important, because when I came down to legislative administration, I thought that we really needed to concentrate on working for our customers, and that includes communication and credibility. But customer satisfaction has marked improvements in information services projects. We did hire a new CIO. I wasn't there, so I can't take credit for it. But a new CIO was hired a little over a year ago, and I think things have done very nicely in that area. As I mentioned before, the capital accessibility maintenance and safety project was approved. A project manager was hired, I think late June, right around the 1st of July. Marina Cresswell, she's here. This project, if you remember, there was originally what was called OSCAR. It was the capital, or was it capital?
Oregon State Capital Renovation.
Oregon State Capital Renovation Project. And that was estimated to be about a $300 to $350 million project. The funding for that was not approved during the last long session. What happened in 2016, the legislature decided that we would take pieces of that project and we would move forward. And generally what it's doing is it's improving ADA access to the building. All four sides of the building will now be ADA accessible. We're also looking at replacing certain internal mechanical electrical plumbing systems, in particular the heating system in the old building. And there's some other safety issues, like moving the state police up to the first floor. So far that project has accomplished a number of site things. The information systems group has moved down into the basement. They're all in one place now. I'm sorry, the ground floor, being politically correct. Up on the first floor, the state police has moved into a temporary location. It's worked out nicely from my standpoint, because now I have much more direct access with them. They used to be down on the ground floor. So they are there. We are working on them having a permanent site. They're in a temporary site right now, and they're going to move down a little bit, basically where the information systems group was. And then the Legislative Revenue Office, their location where they used to always be, they've moved up to 354 temporarily. And then they're going to move into 160, which is where the governor's policy staff is. So we're playing juggling people, holding people temporarily in some locations while we do some tenant improvements. And all that's included as part of the project. Capital Security Work Group. I want to talk a little bit about this. This is something that leadership and some members had voiced a concern about security in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. It's been an issue for a long time. And one of the things you'll see later is we have to balance things, because you want to have a secure building, but we are open to the public, and we want to have open access to the public. So it's kind of a fine line there. But during the short session, there were some interruptions in both the chambers one day, and it raised some security issues. So what the leadership, the work group did was made some recommendations on some things, both physical and policy changes. You probably have seen more troopers in the building this time. It's because we've increased the number of troopers. And I think it's worked out really well. We have a good working relationship with those folks. We have an increased number of rallies, protests, whatever you want to call them. But I think things have gone relatively well, all things said. There are a number of issues that are still outstanding. This group has looked at a number of issues, including putting some bollards up in front of the building so that, you know, to help prevent vehicle traffic from being able to come up here. Putting ballistic film on some of the windows on the first couple of floors to help protect, mostly from break-ins and those kinds of things. Putting different garage doors on. I don't know, you members probably know that door stays up forever. And so we're looking at doing some security issues there so people can't come in and out as easily, you know, if they're not supposed to have access.
Just a quick question. Everything that you are saying now, Quodenar, is kind of a little bit of alarming. Is there something else that's brewing that probably we should know about off record, something? You know, you're talking about pulling those ballots up. You know, I know what that means. You know, trying to stop truck bombs or car bombers and stuff. You're saying putting things like ballistic support on windows. I know what that means, too. So is there some type of safety or security briefing that the legislature should be aware of? Or,
Mr. Chair, no. There are, as you can imagine, we have a lot of different threats. We are a very public building, but it's not anything in particular. We're just trying to prevent things from potentially happening in the future. We're trying to beef up security around this building. The measures that are taken there, there's some, the state police have been involved in helping us increase cameras internal to the building, having mass communications in the event of any kind of, not necessarily a disaster event, but even if we had a fire or something like that where we could have mass communications out to the building. Those are the kind of things we're trying to address. I think we're just trying to get ourselves up to where it would be a reasonable standard for security. In the past, we've been very trusting. You know, after we had 911 for a while, there was a security guard at the entrance to the parking structure. That over time went away. But these are recommendations that have been made by the state police and some members that have, kind of a security kind of a background, because there is some, you know, there's threats every day everywhere in the world, but there is not a specific threat that we're trying to address.
Okay. When I hear about, you know, I am very aware of, you know, when these items are in particular from this basket being displayed, then there's generally something behind it, but if we're just talking about general upgrade of the facility, I apologize. I wasn't here at that point, so.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for your question. I think certainly we live in uncertain times. That being said, having been in the Capitol not only during my tenure as an elected official, but also working here as a staff member years and years ago, I have great appreciation for the work that administration does and the safety that we enjoy here. And I don't feel safer any place in my legislative life than I do right here in the Capitol. The state police and administration, I think, is doing a great job for us. I mean, if I have any questions, it's that while the governor's office is secure and nobody can walk past the governor's office, including outside on in the beautiful patio areas that we've got there, our state treasurer and our secretary of state have offices on the first floor with windows that open onto the sidewalk. Are those some of the windows that you're talking about adding protections to?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Gombrich, exactly. Yes, all the windows around the first and potentially the second floors even to help prevent some of that kind of stuff, yes.
Mr. Chairman, it's not so much I think that somebody's going to climb in the window or worse. I think it's more a matter that the Secretary of State, essentially our Lieutenant Governor, is sitting at this point his desk with his back to a window that opens onto a sidewalk, and people can just walk by and rap on the window and wave hello. It strikes me as a little curious.
I agree with you.
Yes, it's a good point. Another thing that's this group is addressed is continuity of operations planning. We've undertaken that. Ledge admin has begun. We're starting folks in the legislative administration under my agency are going to be the first group, kind of the guinea pigs, to go through and create continuity of operations plans. So that'll be something else that the whole branch will be dealing with over the next couple of years. As I mentioned, when I went down to legislative administration, I had goals, you know, things that I thought were important, better communication. I think we've tried to work on that. I've tried to be a little more outgoing to go and talk to folks in the building, you know, hands-on kind of, you know, personal kind of communication. We've also tried to get more information out about what's going on in the building. We created an intranet several years ago, and a lot of information used to be put on the intranet. Well, that takes you knowing to go out there and find it. So we're trying to take the more important things and go back to doing some email notifications, maybe pointing you back to the internet, but trying to be more hands-on, get that information out there. We've also worked on credibility. We have very talented folks in legislative administration. But as you know, it takes one bad experience to ruin 20 good experiences. And so the entire management staff has taken this very seriously. We have discussions about it all the time about what can we do to be more credible in the eyes of our customers. Oops, let's go back here. Continuity of operations, I spoke a little bit about that. One of the things I really do want to emphasize is we're going to be probably asking for some money for us to do the full-blown off-site cold site. It's important in this day and age. You never know what's going to happen, whether we have a disaster, a fire, or whatever, or just simply have something happen to the computer room. Well, we would be up a creek, you know. It would take us a little longer to get back on our feet than we'd like. So we have a plan to go out there and have an off-site place. Like I said, the CIO has done a great job of laying this all out, and so it's something that you'll probably see and ask for us to complete this. We have already finished our emergency action plan, and I've already talked to you about our business continuity plan. Engage and educate the public. This is something we take very seriously. You know, our visitor services folks meet people as they come in the door, and that's the face of this branch a lot of the time. And they are doing a number of things. They're working with the school kids. They are working with groups all the time. We're having more events to try to bring people to the Capitol. And it's something that we put an emphasis on, and I think I've seen some great strides in the last 2 or 3 years on just the content of which we're trying to engage the public and have them enjoy their experience here. So budget drivers for us, like everyone else in the branch, personal services costs, and we're, you know, the vast, vast majority of our costs are all people. Maintenance and operation of the building. The building's old. It's got some issues, and it's, you know, we are addressing some of those with the CAMS project. I think that's a good thing, but you never know when something's going to go wrong in a building that was completed in the late 30s. So we try to plan for that. My long-term goal is for us to have a deferred maintenance fund and to plan for those things, have a building group that would meet and decide how those funds would be dispersed every time. Given where we are in the budget, current budget environment, I'm not sure that now's the time for me to come in and ask for that, but I put it out there so that you know that that's kind of our long-term plan. Maintenance and operation of information systems. Again, I think that, you know, those are one of these things. If you don't take care of them, if you don't replace them in a timely manner, you end up with systems that don't work when it's too late, and that's what we're trying to avoid. So we're doing an assessment of all the legacy systems here in the branch, and hopefully long term we'll you know, come up with a plan of how we're going to replace those and on what platforms and all of those things. the capital accessibility maintenance and safety project. It is the, you know, it, when you get a $30 million increase in funding for bond funds, it skews your budget something. So you'll notice that there is a there was a $30 million increase back in the 26th, and all of a sudden that gets phased out. It's because it's capital construction costs, and so we have a six-year limitation. So you will see that come in and go out. The last thing I want to mention is debt service. The entire branch's debt service, it resides in legislative administration. Mm. So it, again, skews our budget. 38% of our general fund is just paying debt service. So it's debt service on the old Wings project from several years ago, and from the Oscar project, and from CAMS. So all the debt service is in one place. So I kind of talked about this a little bit before, some of our challenges. Meeting the diverse expectations of all stakeholders, partners, and the general public. As you can imagine, in a building like this, a lot of people have a lot of different priorities. We have to balance those with the resources we have, try to keep people happy, and try to make things run smoothly. Maintaining the Capitol while functioning as Oregon's seat of government. Again, this is going to be very evident as we proceed with CAMS, and we're trying to do work on the building. We also have, you guys need to, you know, get through session, and you guys have to be able to do things. So we are trying to plan projects around when we're actually in session that will have an immediate impact on the building and operations here. As I mentioned before, balancing increased security with public access to the building. You know, some capitals have full-blown x-rays of all bags, and you have to go through a metal detector and everything. We don't have that here. And it's been a decision over time that we want to be remain in open capital. I think you have to have those discussions at some point in time. You know, what's the good balance? Because you don't want to have a bottleneck of people trying to get in here to testify for a bill lined up out the door. But at the same time, you have to think about security of the building. It's just kind of the world we live in today. And then meeting time and budget expectations for the Capital Accessibility Maintenance and Safety Project. I take these things very seriously. Any kind of major construction project, you know, can have issues. And there have been, we were hopefully trying to use all the design documents from the original project as we move forward with CAMS. And some of the things, you know, we've had some issues that engineering and things are a little different when you do a piece of the project than when you do the whole project. So it's one of the issues that, you know, is a great concern to Marina and I. Have this discussion all the time. Are we staying on time and on budget? And so it's kind of at the forefront of my thoughts.
Oh, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, I have to leave to a meeting to in the governor's office, but I'd be remiss if I didn't share with Darren how much I appreciate all that you do. I'm looking at your organizational chart here, and your staff and visitor services and information services and facility services, employee services, financial services, and capital accessibility, those folks are A+. And, you know, it starts at the top, and that's as a result of your leadership. But you've got an excellent group of folks, folks who are working hard making sure that this building is accessible and clean and friendly. And please know on behalf of this committee, we really, really appreciate all that you and everyone does, from the person working at 2 a.m. here to the person greeting the grumpy constituent showing up here. We appreciate it. I do want to share just one brief comment, Mr. Chair. That balancing security versus public access is difficult. And you know, each and every one of us, all 90 of us, are going to have a different opinion. For me, I'm of the opinion we need to tighten that security up a little bit more, because I'm shocked over the 18 years I've been here that something more significant hasn't occurred, and I personally think it's a matter of time. But with that said, how you do that in balancing it with public access, that's a challenge. But I want you to know I really appreciate all you do.
Co-Chair, I know the Representative Smith needs to leave, and before he does, with all respect, since he's chaired this committee before, I had a question, and that is that yesterday I facetiously asked a question about potential conflicts of interest, but now we're talking about a department that actually sends us a check every month, and I'm wondering if a group of 90 constitutes a small enough class that that a conflict of interest form is called for when we vote on issues like this budget and what the history may have been on that in past years?
Excellent question. If you don't mind if
please.
You know, historically, we have not declared that conflict of interest. I think there's just enough public awareness to realize that that's the nature of the general government subcommittee. I think any member who feels compelled to declare that, we could recognize it. I personally am not going to do that because I think it's the work we do here, and I think Oregonians understand that. But I'm glad you've raised that awareness.
Can we follow with Senator Johnson? You have anything to add to that?
Co-chair covered it.
Okay. So, thank you very much, Mr. Co-chair. I appreciate the comments.
Okay. Mr. Co-chair, you're in good hands here.
It's okay, Darren, they're cutting your budget.
Okay, I apologize for that.
Don't apologize. Mr. Chair, I have nothing else unless there's further questions. I would be happy to turn over to Chris.
Representative Nimmerman?
So one thing I'm sorry you didn't brag about was under IT, and maybe you didn't brag about this because it kind of only affects nerds, is you released a very nice API to your legislative system there that I'm user number 2 on, and I appreciate that very much. So okay. Good work on that.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Representative Nierman. I appreciate those comments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any other chairs? Senator?
As long as we're talking about IT, and I apologize for having to step out and testify, when I think how often there are IT issues in this building and I think about the shop that takes care of that, I hope that there's an excellent succession plan in that shop. Every day, many of us pray for Bud's continued health and well-being, but just some reassurance that you've got a good bench strength in that shop.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, to that point, for the first time in several years, we have full capacity there. We had always had vacant positions, and the new CIO, Brett Haynes, has done a great job of getting folks hired, but he is also, there is bench strength, and it's not just waiting for certain people to move on in their careers. It's also side to side laterally so that on any given day, people can move over and help if they need to when the need arises.
Good, and I would just follow just pile on to Representative Nierman. I can't tell you how many people I've referred to OLIS and talked with considerable pride about the fact that that's one of the few IT projects that the state's done on time, under budget, and it's not broken.
Again, Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, finally, before you leave, I just want to kind of circle back again. When I was talking about, you know, putting up the barriers and barricades and stuff, that I'm very familiar with the process. I agree that it is something that probably should have been done years ago. I think back last year where we had some of our constituents come through and armed to the teeth. That really bothered me. You know, you don't know who's coming in and who's doing what. So I would ask that you expedite in a manner that's really sufficient, especially on our lower floors, as indicated by one of the members of the committee.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll take that back to the group.
Thank you. If there are no further questions for Mr. Hill, Mr. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We're going to We're going to close the public hearing, HB 517, Legislative Administration, and open public hearing on HB 517, Legislative Policy and Research Office. Mr. Christopher Reinhardt, please.
Thank you.
And, sir, before you get started, please, for the record, state your name, and then it's, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Chris Reinhardt. I'm the Director of the Legislative Policy and Research Office. And I think I can legitimately claim that I am new here. I was just appointed to the position last September. So I've been here about 6 months and very excited to take on this office. So I just wanted to quickly lead you through a few slides talking about who we are and where we're going. Our office was created by legislation last session. So we are charged with preparing and assisting in legislative research, providing advice and assistance to committees, providing staff management for committees and task forces, and providing research facilities to members and committees. So as Darren said earlier, we are the successor to the Committee Services Office that was part of LAC. So the staff from Committee Services was moved into the new Legislative Policy and Research Office, and we're expanding and given this new task of expanding the legislature's nonpartisan research capacity. We are currently operating under a memorandum of understanding with LAC, and our statutory existence does not begin until July 1st of this year. So this is our first budget. And our structure is that we're overseen by a 12-member bipartisan bicameral committee that is chaired by the Senate President and the House Speaker. Equal membership by party, equal membership by chamber. So our mission, as we've defined it at this point, is that we serve the Legislative Assembly by providing centralized, professional, and nonpartisan research, issue analysis, and committee management services to inform deliberations and development of public policy. We have a dual mandate. We're providing committee services, as has been in the past, plus this research capacity. So our staff is performing both roles. And there's a distinction between how we do what our job is primarily during the interim versus during session. Some of the values that guide our work, first and foremost, is that we are a nonpartisan office. We strive for objectivity and accuracy in our work, professionalism and accountability. We recognize that we could make mistakes. We want to admit them, correct them, and improve based on them. We want to excel at customer service. We want to continuously learn and develop our skills so that we're adding value to the legislative process. The expertise that we develop as we retain staff will be the most important asset that our office provides. Communication. I want to emphasize collaboration within our office in terms of how we do our work, making the most out of the staff that we have, as well as collaboration with the other nonpartisan offices, the ways that we can combine our staffs to produce exceptional products that integrate the resources that we have on hand, and adaptability to the ever-changing legislative environment and the different needs that may come along. So our session activities at the moment are similar to past sessions. Each policy committee receives an analyst and assistant from our office. We work with the chairs developing work plans. We're responsible for getting the agendas posted and all the meeting materials together, coordinating the amendment process with LC, fiscal and revenue impact statements with LFO and LRO, assisting with procedural committees during committee meetings, assisting the public when they're coming into committee events. We produce the staff measure summaries for each bill that comes out of a committee. And we're generally managing the official committee record of all the proceedings. We're assisting with work groups. We assist members on the chamber floor when they ask for assistance preparing notes. And we're conducting research. And at this point in the session, we have limited capacity to do that because our staffing level is similar to prior sessions when we manage the committee process.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
For the benefit of new members to the committee and new members to the body, I think that this presentation doesn't do an adequate job of describing the magnitude of the assignments here. And in the interest of full disclosure, I was on the team that helped hire Mr. Reinhart, and I'm a member of the LPRO committee, participated in the work group that made the case statement for why we should do this. And this is really two jobs. It is all of the committee services piece, that's everything above the last dot, and that, oh, by the way, conduct research is a gargantuan task. And so I just want to make sure that as these bullet points are scrolling through, that people really have a clear understanding, first of all, how lucky we were to get Mr. Reinhart out of a huge pool and a really exhaustive and I think very well done effort to select the best person after a national review of applicants. But this conduct research part is going to be the new uncharted ground for us. And I think we're in capable hands embarking on that. But this is really two big jobs.
Mm-hmm. Chairman and Senator Johnson, thank you. Yes, I do want to emphasize that I think our people are doing a wonderful job running the committees. We have wonderful continuing staff who I've inherited from committee services, and we've brought in some great people. And I think we're doing a good job at somehow managing the dual roles. And I think we've set ourselves up to be able to succeed in this new capacity. If I can continue. So this is what we launch into after session, is how are we going to conduct our research? And there are some existing products that we've been producing, these background briefs, a summary of legislation. And we still expect that we'll be involved with a number of committee activities during legislative days and task forces. So those tasks that the Committee Services Office has performed in the past will still be part of what we're accomplishing as an office as we're launching into the new research phase. And that will be, we will have more staff on hand to accomplish all of this for the first time. But we are in the early stages of our evolution, and we're working with the LPRO committee to set the guidelines of how we will conduct our research in the session. How will we take in requests? How will we prioritize things? How can we make the most of the resources that we have on hand? And that is our goal. We want to maximize, we want to best meet the research needs of the legislature while maximizing and making efficient use of our staff, because we recognize we don't have unlimited resources. And we want to become a strong nonpartisan office that will have the expertise on hand that you will need and can be beneficial to this process. So just quickly on the budget proposal, this is our first budget as a new agency, and it is almost entirely personal services. There's not a whole lot in supplies and services, and what is falls into that category is almost entirely the agency service fee that we pay as we become our own agency.
Senator? Mr. Reinhart, I'm now about to hideously date myself, so don't make fun of me. Do you have all of the tools that you need for research? I'm thinking of some of the standard tools that emerged over the last decade, LexisNexis, all of these search devices. Once upon a time, we were asking staff to go over to the Supreme Court Law Library or other places. Do you have access to those now and all the licenses that are required?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, we're still developing that. We have access to Lexis for a few people, and we're trying to maximize the way that we can work with other agencies to get access to things. We can get a lot through the State Library and the Law Library. So we're trying to make sure that we're not doing things on our own when we can do them in a way with others that may be less expensive. But I think we're going to be working on figuring out exactly which ones we should be spending our money on.
Follow. I'm delighted to know that when I say LexisNexis, somebody doesn't look at me like I'm holding a beta cam in my hand. With all of the applications and tools, that you've at least got a plan to try to get you the latest and the greatest.
Representative Umber.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Johnson is not dating herself. I remember a time in the Capitol when there actually was a research office mm-hmm. once previously. It was some time ago. So my question is this. You've got a great team. You've got an absolutely fantastic team.
Thank you.
But it is my sense that during legislative session, they've got their hands full. And so the idea that we could turn to them with extra tasks, extra questions, extra projects seems limited at a time when perhaps we need that help the most. Could you comment on that for me?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Gomberg. I think that's true. With our current staffing level, our abilities to produce research are limited. And I think as we retain people, because under the new model, we're able to hire more full-time employees, and they're not session employees who go away and you get a new batch every year. So I think as we retain people, we'll be developing a lot more expertise. I think we can shift the way we do things a little bit and hopefully create a little extra capacity for that research.
Following on what Representative Gomberg said, Mr. Reinhart and I had a nice conversation this morning. And we're just talking about what one of the management conundrums is going to be, and that's how to be air traffic control, to draw from my old life, air traffic control for all of these different activities, and how difficult it's going to be to assure that bipartisan nature. What projects get prioritized first? Who goes into the queue first? What happens if Senator Manning comes in with a research project that'll take 10 people 12 months to do it? How do you deploy personnel over a schedule that when the legislative gavel falls, you've got all this other stuff? So I think you're looking at somebody whose job description has that little piece down on the end, other duties as assigned, a magician local 101 card, preference points in hiring. This is going to be a delicate balancing job. Just like you talked to Darren Hill about security versus accessibility, this is going to be maintaining that bipartisanship and being able to triage and prioritize what goes first in the queue, because all of us are going to approach him with our number one.
And hopefully I won't do that with that that amount of work on me. So.
Mr. Chairman, I'm anxious to get started, so I hope... Okay. Hope we get,
you know what they say about be careful what you ask
yes.
for, huh?
So the last thing I would say about this slide is that we still have an ebb and flow to our staffing levels, that even under the new staffing model that we have, we do have a significant number of session-only staff. We have about 25 session assistants that come in every year, and that is not changing. We're going to be keeping the analysts who will be doing the research, but we anticipate at this point that the assistants will be a session-only position. And we do share a few of our assistants with LFO and LRO that come out of that same hiring pool. Just quickly just display our current organizational structure. In terms of management, we have myself as the agency director, we have a deputy director, and we have an administrative supervisor who is in overseeing all of our assistants, and that is a much bigger pool during session. There's quite a bit of, we max out at about 61 people during session.
Mr. Reinhart, who is the deputy director?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, that is Rick Rakobian.
Thank you.
And I do hope as we continue to evolve that we might alter our organizational structure and come up with better ways that we organize ourselves and ways to use teams that can maximize how we do our jobs. And just to wrap up, a lot of these things we've already touched on. These are a number of the planning activities that are before us at the moment. We need to work with the committee, the LPRO committee, to determine exactly how we're going to do our research function this interim. And we have to establish a number of internal procedures to implement that. How do we take in requests? How do we track things? What do our final products look like? And I want to do the best that I can to support the development of staff, because we need them to continuously be improving their expertise and adding value, and we'll be able to do more the better our staff becomes at doing their jobs. In general, we need to look at our existing products and improve them, keep working on enhancing our research resources that are available, do our best to attract and retain highly professional staff, and do the best we can to maximize our use of technology. So that completes my presentation. I thank you very much, and I'll take any more questions that you have.
Is there any questions from the committee? No? Since you are a fairly new kid on the block, I want to welcome you myself, as I am also a fairly new kid on the block. I got to tell you that this is a very exciting building to be working in, and there are a lot of very exciting people to be working with. So thank you for sharing your vision, and we look forward to putting a lot of work on you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Thank
other
you,
questions?
Committee.
Well, that being said, we're going to close the public hearing on HB 5017, Legislative Policy and Research Office. And no further business. Michael, we're good? We're good? All right. If there is no further business, then we are going to adjourn for the day, and we will reconvene tomorrow, 1500, 3 o'clock, for civilians. We are adjourned. For civilians, we are adjourned.